So just before I delve in into a few thoughts on prayer, I want to say one thing from the get-go. Not only do we as a church believe in prayer, we believe in the sovereignty of God. And so I think it's important to reconcile the two. And here's what I mean, if you just think it through a little bit. So when I say the sovereignty of God, I mean we trust that God is in control of everything. I mean, we've been through and are still going through, as it turns out. We thought maybe we were through some of the difficult stuff of the season that we find ourselves in the rock, but we've got some more tough stuff facing us. So we're going through, and so in this, in these difficult times, when the tough stuff happens in life, we have to know that God is in control. He has not left his post. He has not forgotten. He still loves us. He still has a plan. His plan hasn't been thwarted. It hasn't been changed. You know, God is in control. We believe it, and we trust him. Sometimes it's hard to trust, but we do. We trust him. I say that in faith today. So with that said, if God is in control, if he knows everything that's going to happen, if he has planned out our lives, why should we even think about praying? That's the part we have to reconcile. We have to understand what the place prayer should play in the bigger picture. And of course, we know it's clear that God has mandated prayer. It does not stop us for a moment. It doesn't. We don't shrink back, saying, "Well, why should we pray?" God has purposed prayer to be a part, a key part of his plan. Here we have something, and God wants to change that something to be that thing. And the way it's going to happen is going to be through prayer. That's the way he does things. That's the way he allows things. So he sees this. We find ourselves in this. And God wants to get us to the point where we see that. And that we press toward the purposes of God, and we pursue them in prayer. Very important part of what God wants to do. It's key. So I don't want to linger there too long. I just wanted to say that as an introduction. I want to read a little definition of prayer. I've got a couple books by a gentleman by the name of E.M. Bounds, who was a fervent believer in prayer. He wrote this in the early, I'm guessing around 1920s, thereabouts. This is what he says. Prayer is not a mere habit riveted by custom and memory, something which must be gone through with, its value depending upon the decency and perfection of the performance. Prayer is not a duty which must be performed to ease obligation and to quiet conscience. Prayer is not mere privilege, a sacred indulgence to be taken advantage of at leisure or pleasure at will, and no serious loss attending its omission. Prayer is a solemn service due to God, an adoration, a worship, an approach to God for some request, the presenting of some desire, the expression of some need to him, who supplies all needs and who satisfies all desires, who, as a father, finds his greatest pleasure in relieving the wants and granting the desires of his children. Prayer is the child's request, not to the winds of the world, but to the Father. Prayer is the outstretched arms of the child for the Father's help. Prayer is the child's cry calling to the Father's ear, the Father's heart, and to the Father's ability. which the Father is to hear, the Father is to feel, and which the Father is to relieve. Prayer is the seeking of God's great and greatest good, which will not come if we do not pray. Prayer is an ardent and believing cry to God for some specific thing. God's will, I believe, is to answer by giving the specific thing asked for. With it may come much of other gifts and graces. Strength, serenity, sweetness, and faith may come as the bearers of the gifts, but even they come because God hears and answers prayer. So there's a few thoughts on prayer. So what's God's... Now, I read this, and even in this 1920 style, it sounds in some ways kind of formal. And I want to say first off that for those of you who are endeavoring to pray and you are parents of small children, this week I have gained a renewed appreciation for what you go through. We had... the boys with us for the better part of the week in the evening, our grandchildren, and particularly Lincoln. And I found myself praying this morning as I laid hands on Lincoln, praying in my most spiritual tone, God, help him to poo. And so that was one of our concerns, but the relentless need that is there sometimes made it hard to break away for some needed prayer. So parents, I know what you're going through. God's intention for prayer. Gerhard and I were discussing a little bit about the potential of praying corporately together in a Sunday morning service. And I like what Gerhard said to me. What's the worst that could happen? That's a good point, Gerhard. That is a good point. If you can have a good close look at the Bible and see where how many times people really, really regretted praying to God, you won't find it. Not that I know of. Maybe some will come and let me know where prayer was a huge mistake. But it's not. It's not. Prayer is always a good thing when we're praying to the living King. Is the world a better place because people pray? Yes. 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 Prayer can happen corporately, as we're going to do today. Particularly, prayer happens alone as well. Between you, between me, and God. That's where life is. That's where warfare happens. That's where the armor that God gives us has purpose and use when we get together with God and do business. Just want to take stock of a few things. I had a picture in my mind, the scene from Apollo 13 where catastrophe hits the capsule and CO2 levels are going through the roof and guys are going, okay, guys, what do we got? So all the experts are running around going, taking stock of what they got up there. Well, we got duct tape. Well, we got plastic bag. And they were putting the few feeble things they had on the table. Well, I want to tell you, when we are in crisis, we're not pulling the little shreds of duct tape. I want to say we are well stocked. We've got more than what we need to go through this thing. Man, sometimes, of course, the difficulty that faces us seems so huge. I mean, I can't downplay that at all. I'm feeling it firsthand. But God's supply is so much bigger. I just want to mention a few things. First of all, God gives us an open invitation. An open invitation. He doesn't qualify it, limit it to a specific few. There's an open invitation. Ask, it will be given. Seek, you're going to find. Knock, it's going to be open. Everyone who receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it'll be opened. This is open to everyone, everyone who has breath. You can pray. You can pray to God and ask, and He will hear you. Nothing good will He withhold to those who love Him. So, if I didn't say it before or emphasize it enough, God's supply is limitless. He doesn't withhold blessing. He doesn't get in a mood like we do sometimes and withhold our love like humans can do, you know. Use it as a bargaining chip. He doesn't do that. The other thing that I see, and I was just blessed this morning, JP read some scripture, and he was reading out of Hebrews 3, I think it was. The word of God is quick and powerful. When we come to God, we come in the authority of Christ that He has given us. You know, we could be sitting in a courtroom just viewing the proceedings and the goings on, and if we were to stand up as a spectator and go, Judge, I feel like I really need to say something here. You know what's going to happen. You're out of my court, or you're going to sit down and shut up, right? But that's not the case with God. We have authority in Christ. We can come before God, the one who created the billions of stars and the universe, and bring our needs before Him, and we have the authority that Christ has died for. Wow. We can come knowing that God knows our needs. He has a complete knowledge, a complete understanding of every last thing we need. He hasn't missed one thing. And when we come, he can check His list, and you know, he's not scratching His head. Man, I'm not sure about that. He knows. He knows exactly what we have need of. And the other thing, that when we come to Him, we know that Jesus is always the same. God is the same. He won't give one gift one day and then change His mind the next day, or take it back, or anything like that. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And if that weren't enough for us, he says in Romans, he said, you know, you're not always going to get it right. You're not always going to remember what to pray for. I've got your back. The Holy Spirit is actually going to be praying for you as well. So when we forget something, we miss something completely. It's a blind spot. We've all got blind spots. We're praying and we might be missing it. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. Man. Now that's not an excuse to cop out in prayer. I want to emphasize that. Just like I said, the belief that when we believe God is sovereign, it's not a cop out for prayer. Neither is the fact that the Holy Spirit's got our back a cop out for prayer. So these are just some. I mean, I could stand here all afternoon and tell you what God brings to the table. But God brings much to the table. This is God's idea. When we pray, we will begin to get God's perspective. Why would we be exhorted in several places to pray for our enemies? Why would the scriptures say pray for your enemies? Is God really just wanting to specifically bless your enemies? Well, maybe, but really, he wants us to get a perspective on our enemies. Now, when we pray for things, God begins to give us perspective. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get from here to there. Here being the will of God. And here being the starting point. Here being the circumstance. Here being the tough stuff that we face. Here being the hurt, the broken promises. Here being the disappointments, the need, the family situations, the broken relationships, and here being the perfect will of God and finding somehow our way there. And so things like pray for your enemies. What God wants to do is bring perspective, okay? So it's not just our enemies. It's everything we pray for. Ultimately, God wants to bring his will to bear on a situation and to put us in the picture and understand what the will of God is concerning these things. I just want to say one final thing before we go to prayer, and that is spiritual warfare. I thought a little bit about spiritual warfare, and I mentioned it a little bit already, but I think sometimes we have a picture of what spiritual warfare is. You know, we get up every so often and go, oh, Satan, you know, give him one of these. And that's spiritual warfare. What it is coming over and over and over again to God in prayer, recognizing that he's the one who's going to take care of you-know-who, and among other things, and all those things that the enemy would want to bring into the picture. He's the one that puts that guy to flight. He's the one who holds the key. And praise God for the authority we have in Christ. And I'm thankful. You know, I was just reading over that an exhortation on how when we pray that the gifts of God, they become real, they become alive. You know, when we pray, then the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, all these giftings just begin to work. One final thing I just want to say is getting back to one of the first points I made is what is the worst thing that can happen when we pray? Well, God can say no. God can say no. And we're in good company when it comes to hearing no. Jesus heard no. Paul heard no. And that's pretty amazing. You know, Jesus said, this cup that I'm going to bear, is there any way it can pass? God says, no. It can't. It can't. You have to go through this. Okay. Not my will, but your will, right? Amen. So that's what we want. We want, as enticing as my will sometimes can be, we want the will of God. We want the will of God in our lives, in every situation. So this is the context of the prayer that I would encourage us to do. Now, maybe there are some needs present, so that's fine. That's fine. You can feel free to address them in your group. I want us to pray for our church. I want us to ask God. I want us to ask largely that God would do some things. And I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know if there is some more tough stuff that we've got to face, maybe. But we want to get God in these days. And so that's the one thing I would exhort you to pray, is to pray for our church. Pray that God would be with us, help us to navigate, to go through. Pray for leadership and those that are rising up in leadership. That's all. And maybe 10, 15 minutes, I'll call us to maybe longer. But I will maybe give you a cue when we're winding down. Mike.
Just one thing that I really felt impressed of the Lord in this last few days. Difficulty tends to loosen us. It shakes us. It can loosen our relationships. It can loosen our resolve. But I believe that's the exact opposite direction that God wants us to go. In the middle of difficulty, we join. We get tighter. We love each other more. We become increasingly more committed to the very center of the purposes of God that God has called us to, individually and as a church. And I want to say to you, doesn't matter what's going on, the purpose and the call of God on this church has not changed. The visions that we had, you know, years ago, a year ago, a month ago, the vision of God for this church is the same today as it has been. And there are places to go, people to see, things to do. There are souls to be won. There are people to be built up. There are leaders to be trained. None of that has changed. And it's not going to change after today. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And so as you pray, pray with that confidence. Man, yes, God, we need you. We do need you. But God, we're resolved, and we're resolved to go after you. I love that illustration, Tim. This, and where we want to go.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.